Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
The kids on Elm Street don't know it yet, but something is coming to get them.
There's something out there, isn't there?
Halloweenies, a Freddy Krueger podcast.
Was locked in a room with a girl who went in alive and came out in a rubber bag.
From the Consequence Podcast Network, the minds behind The Losers Club, comes a new podcast in fantasy terror.
Nancy? Something wrong with you. You're imagining things.
Halloweenies, a Freddy Krueger podcast.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Today, my guest is the band Calpurnia. Finn Wolfhard, Ayla Tesler-Mabe, Jack Anderson, Malcolm Craig, and we're going to hear about their brand new single, Cell. Of course, this follows up the EP that came out last year called Scout that I was such a big fan of, and the musical direction that they're kind of headed in. In fact, we'll drop a lot of names in this, a lot of bands that they're friends with, that they've found influence in their songs. Bands like White Reaper, Iggy Pop, The Velvet Underground, T-Rex, White Stripes, Shins, Grape Tooth, Sunflower Bean, and Weezer. Yes, you probably saw that Calpurnia was featured in the video for Take On Me. So we'll also get the story behind that, and if there's any budding friendship that goes along with that band. There's a little bit of talk about where we are with rock and roll and where we all hope to go. And one of those destinations is graduation, which a couple of the members are going to be doing very, very soon. It's a really fun interview and one that we all try not to talk over each other whenever possible. It's Kyle Meredith with Calpurnia.
Hello.
How's it going? Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm here in Louisville. You guys are going to be here for the Forecastle Festival in July, and I'm excited because this will be my first time to catch Calpurnia.
Nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Wow.
So I do got to ask before we get started here, though. I saw that Pup released a new album today, and I know that's sort of in the friend family there. Have you all been able to listen to that one?
Yeah,
I
listened to it as soon as it came out last night.
and what are the reviews?
A perfect 5 out of 5. I love my boys.
Yeah,
it's a perfect record.
So good.
Definitely, like, maybe my favorite Pup record that they put out so far.
All right, high remarks. All right, I'm baited. I'll throw the praise back to you all too, because you know we have this new single with Cell, which we're playing here and loving at FPK. Congratulations on this one. It's bigger and even better than where you left off with Scout. Like, this is a big accomplishment, I think.
Thank you so much, man.
That means the world. You know, and I'll ask about kind of where it came from, too. First, you all made a playlist, songs that inspired Cell, and all of my favorite stuff is on there. You got the Louisville's own White Reaper represented, and that's a big deal for me. But also one of my favorite Iggy songs, and the Velvet Underground, and T-Rex, and the Stripes, and on and on and on. What's the story from, does this song really find inspiration from all of this in that way?
Well, not the writing of it. That was more, like, all those songs are more, like, recording-wise. Like, kind of when we were making it, we're like, oh, we should let it sound like this, and the vocals should sound like this, you know. Like, we wanted the vocals to kind of sound like a white, like, the distortion kind of sound like a White Reaper song, and or not the distortion, but the the overdrive on the vocals, we wanted to sound like White Reaper. And White Reaper, by the way, is one of my favorite bands
awesome. In
the world. And we have mutual friends with them, so there's only respect. But, yeah, so all those songs were kind of like, you know, when we were developing the song, we'd listen to them, and then kind of afterwards we realized, like, oh, you know, that song kind of sounds like our song, so let's put it on the list. A lot of it was like in the spur of the moment, kind of in the record. Oh, like, we should kind of make it sound like this and piece it together. And
yeah, totally, totally agree. And, yeah, just taking little bits and pieces from each of the songs in a different way too, and you know, like all the guitar harmonies and stuff that you hear in like Success by Iggy Pop, like that kind of vibe. And then also, yeah, as you were saying, with the production of certain instruments and just the tone of the song, yeah, it's like a nice little puzzle that we took little pieces from all of those songs and put together.
I hear a little bit of glam in there too, which it's one of my favorite genres. I feel like it's really underrepresented in today's musical landscape, even inside rock and roll. Sunflower Bean, which is also on that list, they do quite a bit of it on their new EP. And is that representative of a direction that you all are going in at this point?
I mean, yeah, I mean, my favorite artist of all time, so I wouldn't complain.
No, we're trying different stuff. I mean, that's what we're talking about right now. You know, we have about, as of now, like 7 songs for the next album. We're trying to find the time to do it. But, you know, we're kind of going in a kind of a, you know, every song is kind of different, but I guess the tone in general is moving towards like kind of 70s rock, but also with a modern indie rock twist, I guess, taking inspiration from, you know, like the Stones and Bowie and REM, as well as, you know, a bunch of 90s people. But yeah, I guess just kind of rocking, just some rock and roll, baby.
Yeah.
What's the plan with the full album? I mean, trying to find the time for it. Is there any desired ETA, I guess?
I mean, no. Like, you
as
know,
soon as
I
possible,
mean, it's like,
I guess.
As soon as possible. You know, we all have different stuff going on. These guys are graduating soon, and we're figuring it out. But you know, there could be a thing of, you know, let's say we don't have enough time to record a full album. You know, maybe we'll do like a, you know, worst comes to worst, we'll have music out for people. Don't worry, don't fret. But the album's on the way. You know, we're still writing. We're not going to rush it. But yeah, more music's on the way for sure.
Graduating soon. I didn't know that part of the story. Has it been crazy to try to get to graduation with all of this going on at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, luckily for me, I think more so than Jack, the school's been very, because we go to the same school. Our school's been fantastically supportive. But I definitely went into this year with a little bit more of the mindset of like creating, I guess, more space for music, whereas Jack is fully in there taking like crazy hard courses and killing it, by the way, I should add.
Grinding.
Yeah.
One of the other kind of fun moment from this year comes from that Weezer video with Take On Me. How did you all end up on that? And I wonder, because you also covered Say It Ain't So for Spotify. And is all that linked and related in any way?
I think so. I think the band knew who we were, and you know, they had an idea and they put us in it, and it was really, really cool.
Is that one of those moments where you can kind of hit them up and say, hey, let's collaborate, or let me get some career advice or anything like that? Is like, has there been any kind of friendship that stemmed from that?
We have not met them. We are yet to meet them. However,
they are playing Sunday in Vancouver, and we may or may not be attending, so it'll be fun.
There's a moment. There's a moment there. You got to take that moment.
Yeah.
Right.
But you look at a band like Weezer, and here's a band that's crossed, you know, generations at this point, and so many different sounds. And I don't know, that's got to be a thing, because for a long time, and even backing up a few years for them, you're like, you know, they started doing more pop stuff, and I started wondering, it's like, where are the young bands that are doing that raw sound like Weezer was at the beginning? Not to hold them to it, but, you know, that raw rock and roll sound. And here, that's why Calpurnia is such a breath of fresh air. And there's some other bands, as we're mentioning, that kind of follow suit on that. But I don't know if you want to speak for your generation, but do you see that it's starting to come back around, that maybe, you know, it's that rock resurgence time?
It's time. I think there have been a lot of people who have been maybe a little frustrated with the way that music, or I guess the direction that music has been heading in. Not to say that there isn't some amazing music coming out, and even mainstream music coming out that is just fantastic. But I think people are ready for, you know, sort of going back to the roots of what rock used to be and then taking that in a new direction, I guess.
I'm just waiting for the krautrock revival.
The krautrock
revival. That's all I'm waiting for. We need Can 2.0.
And I don't know, for you all, I mean, so much of the road is still ahead. Like, who do you want to tour with? Do you keep lists like this?
I mean, yeah, of course. You know, we're down for any opportunity, and there's so many musicians we respect. You know, we'd love to go on tour with friends and stuff. I think I love festival. You know, like I love and I don't like festivals. Like I love playing festivals, but you know, there's different things. You know, like you're playing to a bunch of different people. Some of them don't really know your music, which is cool, but you know, it's also not cool. But I think a great thing about festivals, you meet so many people and you see so many friends, so that's like a nice feeling. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's tons of people that we'd want to play shows with. You know, we'd love to play shows with Pup. You know, we'd love to play shows with people like White Reaper and Swimmers and Grape Tooth and you know, there's tons of people that we'd love. You know, any opportunity is pretty great.
You should bring back the concept of Lollapalooza as it was originally, with the traveling festival and, you know, Vans Warped Tour type of things, and just get everybody that you just mentioned and hit the road.
That'd be fun. All the horror stories of those kind of, make me concerned, but I the concept of it just sounds so cool.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we don't have to wake up at 4 a.m. and build our own stages.
Oh, right.
With no water, yeah, as I've heard. But I do like the concept of, you know, getting everyone's, you know, favorite bands together and just hitting the road. That'd be pretty amazing. If we can get a traveling festival and do it right, I wouldn't say no to that.
The video for Cell came out, and you all started and ended with a little hand thing that I've never quite seen before. And I was wondering what the story was on that one.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people.
We didn't expect this to be the reaction.
We've been asked a lot about that, surprisingly. Which is funny. Yeah, the cinnamon roll, as it's called. Our sound guy, Donnie, showed it to us. We loved the concept. It's a great way to get everyone ready to go before the show. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Do you all have any other pre-show rituals? Are there any of the weird ones that, are worth mentioning?
Nothing weird, I don't think.
No.
But I guess that's subjective, too.
What does the rest of the year look like then? I mean, I see this sporadic show here and there, and it sounds like, again, everybody's busy, but what's the rest of the year look like for you all?
Well, Ayla and I have to graduate first. Malcolm and Finn got to complete their grade 11 year. Just continually writing. There's new stuff popping up all the time, shows and that kind of thing. So we're going to just be doing that and waiting to record the next bad boy.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear what that sounds like, too. So like I said, we've been such a big fan of the Scout EP and of Cell. And you guys are, again, you're going to be here in Louisville, Forecastle Festival, July 13th. I'll be there. And yeah, thank you all so much for taking the time to talk to me about it all today.
Yeah, of course.
No probs. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to talk to us.
Anytime.
Thanks so much, man. Later.
Yeah, we'll see y'all soon. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
See you soon.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. See you.
And a big old thanks to Calpurnia. Again, the latest single is called Cell. Now, it was just last year that I talked to Finn Wolfhard when the Calpurnia Scout EP came out. I thought I would go ahead and re-include that interview here. But this is an interview with Finn and I talking about, again, the Calpurnia Scout EP. And, of course, we do get into a little bit of the Stranger Things 3, which at that point had not been officially announced as far as the release date, and a little bit of talk about it, too. So here it is, part two of Kyle Meredith with Calpurnia.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm well. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, pleasure to talk to you, too.
Well, first off, though, I'm really impressed by the two songs that we have heard from Calpurnia so far. To be so realized of a project right from the beginning is completely impressive. I'd like to get a bit of the backstory, too. How long have you been playing now?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that. That means a lot. And I've been playing music. I started playing bass in about 2010. So I was, I think I was eight when I started playing music. And so I was just playing the bass and messing around with the bass, and I only knew a few notes on guitar. And then I made friends with a drummer, Malcolm, and then he was the drummer and I was the bassist, and we were sort of messing around all the time. And then I guess I sort of just made the switch to the guitar and started kind of playing seriously about 2 years ago, two or three years ago.
How easy did the guitar come for you, having come from the bass?
it was just so different. I knew like the basic chords, and then I was just self-taught. I didn't really take any. I took bass lessons for a few years, and then I didn't take any guitar lessons. I took maybe one guitar lesson when I was really young, but I'm mostly self-taught.
So how quick did the songs come? Like, are the songs that we're going to hear on the EP from right at the beginning, or did you try out a few that no one will ever hear?
Like the songs that you heard that you're going to hear like on the album is like only one song on that album have we had since we were young on the EP. But the lyrics are completely different. It sounds completely different from what it used to be. It's just the same riff. But we've been kind of messing around for a while. Those were kind of the songs. I mean, you know, if we wouldn't have, we were originally going to record an EP just by ourselves independently in our guitarist Ayla's basement. And then we got a better opportunity to actually record with Twin Peaks at their studio. And so, you know, who knows? They might have been completely different songs if we wouldn't have, you know, gone with them.
Coincidentally, Twin Peaks are in Louisville tonight. They're playing here in town.
So, no way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Worked out in timing, so I'm going to be checking that out. So how did you get hooked up with them? Because, having the folks from there helping you guys out, really taking you under your wing doing the production of this, how did that all come about?
So I had a mutual friend who was best friends with our producer, Katie, and the guitarist of Twin Peaks. Or not best friends, but, you know, good friends with him. Mm-hmm. And he's in Stranger Things. He plays Steve, and he was in a band called Post Animal. And I kind of asked him, because I love Twin Peaks music, and I was just kind of a fanboy, and I still am. I asked him I just started talking to him over text and stuff, and I started sending him song ideas just as friends. We were just talking as friends and stuff, and then we were thinking later, we were like, wait, so, you know, maybe we don't have to record it. You know, we still recorded it independently. It's just like we didn't record it out of Ayla's basement. We would have produced it all ourselves, and we were like, oh, well, we should get a producer. And I realized, I was like, wait, Katie and, you know, Twin Peaks produces all their own tracks. Like, they all recorded themselves in their studio. And so, you know, we thought that was the best way, and I had already kind of known them. And then that was it from there.
That's cool. The sound on these songs on this EP sort of have that quality that Twin Peaks is known for, you know, lo-fi, garagey sound. And even Mac DeMarco, which I know you've got a little bit of history with as well, it sort of fits in the family. Did you all, is that part of it? Is that what drew you to that? Like, they had that sound and you're like, yeah, we can do that. That's what we like.
Exactly. Yeah, that was kind of exactly what it was. But the rest of the EP, like those, some of the songs in the EP are really different from Twin Peaks, and like the sound is, you know, that I think there's a lot of Twin Peaks sound, not only because we're big fans of them, just because they also produced it as well, so they put their flavor in there as well. And, you know, I don't think we went into it being like, this is like, we want this to sound like whoever, but like it just ended up sounding that way, which is awesome. We couldn't be happier for people to compare it like that. But yeah, we're really happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, you get that, especially during that first song with City Boy. And again, that was, you know, that's our introduction to you guys and everything. And it was like, holy crap, this is like, my first band was not good at all. Especially, you know, my first band, I was 14, 15 when I did that too. And it wasn't near what this sounded like. So yeah, I wouldn't mind actually hearing about the first single too, City Boy. Is there, what's the story there?
The story about that, I was just, well, how I wrote it, I was just at home, and I came up with the riff first, and then usually how it goes is if I like the riff a lot, and, like, I'm in the right headspace, I can just write for hours and hours and hours. So I was toying with that riff and those lyrics for a little bit, and then the band came in later, and sort of, we all workshopped the lyrics together, and then we all went in to record, and that was it. And, yeah, that was a really fun track to record, just because for that track particularly, we all learned a lot about mixing tracks on Ableton Live, and just in general on how to, you know, make different sounds with different stuff. And so that was really interesting to go through.
Usually with a new band, especially your first band, as we were just talking about, you kind of get a gestation period, you know, where no one's paying attention. you get to work through finding your sound and your voice, which isn't going to be the case because, you know, of your other career. Is that on your mind at all? Like, this all starts completely in the public?
For sure. I mean, the other thing is that, like, I have, you know, that was the big thing going into it. It was like, yeah, you know, I already do have a following, but, like, the first thing I told all my, like, you know, all the people in the band who are all, you know, equally, we're all equally involved in it. And I just told them, I was like, I don't want this to be, like, my band. Like, I want this to be our, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be, like, the Finn Wolfhard, like, extravagant, like, yes, like, I've already been playing with these guys for years and years, and just now we're just putting a name on it. We never just had a name, but we've been a band for a really long time.
Of course, the artwork of the EP with a bunch of busted TVs, it's hard not to look in on that and think, well, yeah, you work in movies, you work in television. Is that related at all?
I mean, maybe. We didn't go into it thinking that way, but I like hearing other people's, like, takes on it. And I guess the busted TVs all go to Jason Bartel, who's the guy who did the cover and did all the artwork. He also did there's a band called Pup from Toronto, who's on our label, who we love, and he did their album cover as well. The story behind the TVs is just Jason toying with it. I think we had the character that's on all the covers. Our thinking behind it was when we were recording, we were like, it'd be cool to have kind of like a Matrix type, like almost like slave kind of in the distant future. It's not at all a concept album or anything. It's just kind of the character that represents the album, and we call him Scout. And he's kind of just, it's set in the near future, and he's kind of a slave to technology. As you can see, because like, if you look closely on the single covers, he has like cables coming out of his head, you know, TVs in the background, and he's kind of just trapped. Yeah. So that was the original thing, and then it kind of just spun off into new and new stuff. So like, as more singles come out, there's going to be more, you know, there's going to be even more stuff that, like, you know, there's going to be even more meanings to it.
Yeah,
but
cool.
that was it. You know, that was the first thing that we all pitched.
I'm going to use this. I'm also going to dip into that other side of your job and everything to kind of tie the two together. But, you know, with so much 80s pop culture that happens in Stranger Things and what you've been a part of, I don't know how much you have to absorb the culture of your roles. But I think I was a little surprised that I didn't hear any of that rub off on this project.
Yeah, I think the other thing, like, going back to what I said before, like, I just, you know, I wanted, not in a bad way or anything, I just, like, I want to keep all the things that I do as kind of separate as possible, that makes sense. Like, to be our band, to be associated with Stranger Things would not be good, just because, like, you're associating yourself with, like, the thing that made you big, and, like, it's almost like you're cashing in on it all the time. You know, I wanted to distance, like, when it comes to music, I wanted to distance myself as much as possible from that show, because, like, you know, I to that I'm acting in, and this, it's like, I want to show a completely different side of myself that doesn't have to do with, you know, the show. You know, there's some sound on some other tracks on the album. There's some 80s sounds on there. Yeah. But yeah,
I don't know. Am I permitted to ask any questions about that while we're here?
About Stranger Things? Yeah. I mean, as long as it's not about like the third thing, because I genuinely don't know anything about it.
No, well, that was just it. I noticed that they had announced a couple new additions today with Carrie and Jake Busey, which is,
yeah,
that's gotta be cool.
I just saw that on Deadline today. So I'm excited for that to happen, playing a mayor. So that would be cool. Yeah, I think I'm really excited for all the new characters. I think they're all going to be great. I haven't met them yet. I'm meeting them later this week. But I'm very excited to get going again with that.
Has it been told? Is this a 2019 thing? 2018 thing? I don't know if that's been announced. So
this is a. I think it's a 2019 thing. I don't think there's an official start or release date. But yeah, I think it's 2019. I don't think there's any way our show can be done and, like, edited and done in, like, 2 months before. But, yeah, I think it'll be 2019.
And then the other side of it, with It too, I've started hearing that Bill Hader might be playing the adult version of you, which was something that you kind of recommended. Is that right?
Yeah. That was – I always thought that he would be great. Even when we were shooting it, I always thought he would be a great thing. And, I mean, hopefully – he signs off on it, like, officially. Like, I think it's only been rumored, but I hope, like, they sign the contract and it's all good. If that happens, I'm, like, super excited for
that
it to happen.
Huge. That would be huge. Have you spoken to him? Are you guys buds? Has he heard the band?
No, never. I've never spoken to him before. I'd love to, though. He's, like, he's our hero. Me and the band, like, quote him all the time. Like, all of his SNL bits and all of his improv bits. And so we're huge fans of him.
And what's the update there? Is there a script? Do you guys know when you're going to start on that one?
There is. I mean, sometime this summer, I'm sure. But we all have to figure out all of our schedules to get back into it. But yeah, that'll be great to get back to that as well.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it, man. I mean, all this going on. I felt bad when they told me I could get a phoner with you, because I was like, I'm just going to eat up the little time that the kid has. So it's
no, man. No, my mind's moving all the time. If I don't do stuff, I'm just going to be bored.
Well, I'm really happy to talk to you. I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of this record. Like I said, I really am impressed by the two songs we've heard so far. What's the release on the EP? When's it come out?
June 15th.
Well, look forward to that. And I don't know, you guys got plans for a full length after that? You want to try to get to an album pretty quick?
Yeah, we're writing all the time. So we're whenever we all have time, we're gonna get back into it.
Well, I'll look forward to that. And
sweet,
again,
man.
I can't wait to see the other things you got going on, Stranger Things, It, the whole thing. I love it, and I really do appreciate you taking the time today.
Thank you, man. It was great talking to you.
All right, we'll see you. Take care.
Talk to you later. Bye. Bye.
It's Finn Wolfhard from the 2018 interview talking about Calpurnia's Scouts EP. And again, my thanks to all of Calpurnia. Really am looking forward to where they're going next. Hey, before you get out of here, if you haven't already, please do remember to hit the subscribe button. Again, you can check us out anywhere you get your favorite podcasts from. You can also subscribe on YouTube, on Spotify, if you prefer those places. Wherever you're listening from, though, please do take a moment to give the series a review, a rating, if possible. It really, really honestly does help. After that, you can head to WFPK.org, where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, where you can also find some bonus episodes of this series. ConsequenceOfSound.net has your music and film news. A shout out to Michael Rothman, who gave me some assistance with the research on this interview. You can find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith and Facebook/Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.